the tech?
Yes.
Oh, which one's yours? Or are both of yours?
I like mine.
You're on now.
Okay. We're here today to discuss the legal services. First, I want to thank Mr. Chuma for doing an absolutely phenomenal job putting this together for us. It was one of the most professional presentations
absolutely.
That I've ever received.
Absolutely.
So thank you. You made it very, very easy.
You're welcome.
It's really the pleasure of the board how we want to move forward. My thought was that we would discuss the general counsel first. And I don't know if we want to talk about everyone today and then go through. In my mind, I thought maybe we would discuss the general counsel, ultimately make a decision about that, and then have that person participate potentially in discussions regarding the other areas of law and the other attorneys. That's just a thought. We can go forward however the board would like. I do want to ask Dr. Adams throughout this process if the board is okay to give her input, since she'll be working with the person on a regular basis, if everybody's okay with that.
Of course.
Okay. So, with that said, how would we like to get started?
I think what you've said is fine.
Okay.
But I think always and forever we need to remember that this is one of the two people we hired. Yes, they have to be able to get along with our staff and our superintendent, but this is board, just as it says, board counsel for us. And then when we get into some other areas, I would like to ask Dr. Adams about some other things regarding some things that are, I think, under risk management that I'd like to discuss.
That sounds great.
We have.
You just said we had three candidates for the general counsel position. Bullcook C. Fennell, O'Hara Quinn, Cameron Castellino, and Stearns Weaver Miller. I don't want to hijack the conversation. Mm-hmm. I looked through all of them. Mm-hmm. I'm open to comments. I will tell you, and I'm going to be honest with, after having looked through these, and my experience is that Suzanne DeGresta is one of the two best attorneys that I've ever worked with. Her skill level, her knowledge, and I think that the value that she provides to the district, I don't want to... My preference is to continue with her as our general counsel. And renegotiate the contract with them. So that's where I'm headed with it. I've looked through. I think we've got some great candidates, but for general counsel, I just think, I'll say it again, Suzanne is just an exceptional attorney, and I'm not sure we would be able to find anybody who has the same caliber and skill that she does. So that's my two cents, but Ms. Jimenez?
Yeah, I think beyond that, beyond the work that we've done with her, in looking at these three packets, it seemed like two of them really have no experience in education. It's not in their narrative. There's no mention of experience in education. And then the one that actually had a partner who has experience in education, the person only has about 5 years of experience. And for a district like ours, with all of the litigation issues that we face, we really can't afford to have someone that is going to learn on the job. We need someone that has all of this at their fingertips. And looking at their resumes, and I just did want to comment, maybe Mr. Pegler understands how this is done, but I was really surprised to see the list of cases with no mention of whether or not the lawyer prevailed. Mm-hmm. And I think that lack of information surprises me, because if you're in this type of business, being meticulous and clear is very important. So I just can't see any experience here that would supersede the experience we have. And I'll repeat, even the person that does the local, that could be a local counsel, the rates are not going to be cost-effective anyway. So in terms of expenditure, in terms of experience, I don't think any of these firms could serve us the way we are currently being served.
Mrs. Johnson?
Well, first of all, I would like to say that we have... Is it not on?
Everybody's...
No, none of them are on.
I don't think we turned them off.
It's fine, though. It picks up with that.
Okay.
Well, we want our audience to say, no, mine wasn't on edit, to be able to not just see us and hear. When we began this journey, I heard so many comments that we really wanted to do something local, and that, you know, we needed to get dollars that stay local. I heard that throughout the entire discussion that took us the beginning of this journey. So I do, however, recall at that time that I said, I certainly do understand that we want to give business locally when possible, but I think when we look at some of the other areas other than general counsel, there may be others we want to consider. That being said, speaking of all the applicants, I do know that there were some hourly rates that were considerably less than what that some of them are, or that if you take that blank figure, I think that two or three of them said 2 hours twice a month was what they were going to give us for their monthly retainer and some other things. I thought that was interesting. I have worked over the years with many councils, and I will tell you, as someone from the outside who had to have assistance at times when I was working with my nonprofit, I have to say that the firm of Brown and DiAgresta has been most impressive to me. The breadth of knowledge, and when we look at many of these, only one person might have some government experience in some way, and I feel for general counsel definitely that we do not, as Ms. Jimenez said, we do not have time to provide a learning experience, especially with the severity and the potential impact of a need for immediate information regarding opportunities for opportunities for us to be in trouble if we don't have someone with that knowledge and someone who has to go back and learn and charges for the time that they are learning. So I agree wholeheartedly, Mr. Pegler, that counsel staying with Brown DiAgresta is the appropriate, in my opinion, is the appropriate stance to take. And I don't want us to spend time, unless it is a board corporate decision, for us to be interviewing people for any of these. That's not fair to them. That's not fair when we have a direction that's already set. That is not fair to any of them. So, and at least I believe all three of these have put in for other areas.
Yeah, I mean, so I'll just go on record, as it were. I believe very strongly, I mean, and obviously that we'll go with the board decision. I believe very strongly that the Gullah-Cooksey folks could handle it, no problem. I would make that, if I were a one-person board, we'd make that move today. I think 5 years is plenty of experience. I think Mr. Odom's got a ton of experience. Guys are local, he's invested in our community, and I would do that. But I do agree that if it's obvious we're not going to go in that direction, I don't want to bring people in for an interview just for the sake of interviewing. The Miami firm, there's, you know, obviously we've got very good legal representation. There's no reason to even interview another out-of-town firm. You know, there's no reason to leave Mr. Brown's firm if we're, you know, to go to another firm out of Miami.
Mrs. Disney?
Well, I'm on the other end of the spectrum where I don't have a lot of experience with attorneys, and I haven't worked with, I think I know on one hand, attorneys counting you, so. But what I will say is, you know, I spent a lot of time working with our state organization, and Ms. DiAgresta is so well respected in the state organization. She's been acknowledged and honored with awards from our state organization, and she is a go-to person for many people in the state when they have an education question. So it's clear that she's the top of the line as far as the attorneys go. And our experience with that firm has been that, in my experience over 5 years, the costs are going down and the work experience with them, the satisfaction of working with them is going up. And I think that's a really good sign when you see that you're spending less and getting more. That isn't usually the case.
I just wanted to, what Mrs. Disney said, actually was a point I wanted to make, that Mr. Morrison, I hope everybody got it, but the fees have gone down to less than $200,000 in legal fees for the district. I agree with what Mr. McCain said. I think out of all of these three, Jason Odom has the most experience, and I know Jason personally, and I think that he will be an asset to do work with the school district without a doubt. I just think that incorporating him in with, you know, Ms. DiAgresta would be a win-win for the district overall, because Jason has more of a labor and employment experience. But I really, you know, with being a lawyer and practicing and being on the school board, this is such a nuanced area of the law. It really, really is. And I wouldn't be, you know, even though I have a high opinion of myself, I wouldn't be confident right now to go and serve as a school board attorney because the knowledge base is so vast. And I just have so much respect for Suzanne and her ability to give us the answers. You know, I'll tell you, I went to Ms. Jimenez and I sat through at the FSBA conference and listened to another school board attorney. Mm-hmm. And it was one of the worst experiences that I've ever had, because it was, and this experience that I went through recently in a neighboring county, not having somebody who will give you an answer or will hedge their bets, which we do, which lawyers do frequently, is the most debilitating and destructive thing that you can have happen. So, and Suzanne, Ms. DiAgresta doesn't do that. I think that she helps us a lot. I do think, you know, we need to go through, if the board decides that we want to renegotiate with them, we need to renegotiate the contract to make it appropriate for where we are in 2012. But I do want everyone in the public to understand that the fees have gone down substantially. Even from when I was running from the school board, they're probably, you know, less than half. So, My recommendation or my vote would be, I guess we can't vote because we're not at a, but would be to renegotiate the contract with Brown Weiss for general counsel, and then have Ms. DiAgresta help us go through the process of looking at other candidates to provide additional services. Mr. Johnson.
And I didn't mean to leave the impression that I think every one of these needs to be somebody different, labor law, real estate, workers' comp. I didn't mean to leave that impression at all if I left that, because it may very well be once we listen to some folks and that we are having some redundancy for someone who is, as in Brown DiAgresta firm, where we already have people who've run through some of these things with us and they know some of the history there with us over the past 5 years. So I didn't mean to leave that impression. I just wanted to clear that up.
The other thing I wanted to say, sorry, I don't want to monopolize the conversation, was the hourly rates I was surprised at. They were very high.
Yeah.
Locally, some of the local firms were, you know, I think we had one that was in the $300 an hour range, which surprised me. And, you know, government work, you know, an hourly rate, and I think Ms. DiAgresta, if you go to the hourly, it's like $177 an hour, is less than I charge per hour, and she's far more skilled than I am.
This is just out of curiosity. When I was reading the resumes, some of them have AB rating, and then they would go through the levels of partner, senior. Does that AB rating correlate to that higher hourly rate?
It shouldn't necessarily. You get a rating, an AB rating, your peers. You basically send out a recommendation letter for your peers to get you that AB rating. If everybody scores you a certain way, you become AB, which is the highest. I never understood why people, if you're a BV, I would leave it off. Some people, but you know, AB is a real, you know, it shows that you're respected by your peers. I should really correlate to your hourly rate, but I think some of the hourly rates were just off in this economy. I was surprised. Mrs. Johnson.
I just wanted to ask Dr. Adams if you had anything to add. I know you've only been working with her directly,
right.
But indirectly you've been working with the law firm of
right.
The Aggressive for five years.
Right.
We
right.
hired them 5 years ago.
What I really feel like her strengths are in particular is, number one, she's current. She's very current on what's happening now with them, because there's a lot of changes. When you think of all the legislative changes and all the changes that we face all the time, she has such a deep understanding of the law and the statute and so on. That's the uniqueness, I think, of education, and she's current, so she's giving us very good information. She's timely. When we ask for information or we need her support, she gets it back to us immediately, and I'm sure you have found that as well, which is very helpful, you know, to us. I like that she's very straightforward. You know, she doesn't talk around things. She will give you a direct answer, and she will give staff direct answers when we need it. So I just feel like that she's probably one of the best that I've had the opportunity to work with in education.
May I do a follow-up?
Sure.
Since there seems to be a consensus, I think probably we need to direct the chairman to renegotiate when we finish these procedures today, to work with the superintendent and to renegotiate for general counsel, if we can, for Brown DeGress, the law firm, with Ms. DeGress as the representative for us.
I think that's an important point.
Right, we did that before when we went
yeah.
through this process before,
yes.
this exercise before. Ms. Disney and I, having done this before, it's important that you designate who the representative is going to be. Because you negotiate with the firm, but you designate who the representative is going to be.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes. I don't know if it's appropriate now to talk about some of the things I think we need to address in the contract, or should I leave that to negotiations with Ms. DeAgresta?
Well, that actually was done by the chairman
okay.
previously, but if board has some direction or comments, they can.
I didn't know if anybody felt.
Well, that's not the focus of this meeting,
I
don't think.
It's hard to negotiate once you put it on.
I know. Well,
yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Very difficult.
Right.
It's difficult, if not impossible, for you as chairman to do any negotiating if we've all decided. So you may as well just sign it and mail it in.
I'm sure. So now that we've accomplished that, how would everybody like to move on with the other categories? Do you want to go through them and decide if we want to bring some people in for interviews? Do you want to have Ms. DeAgresta participate? What's
no.
the pleasure of the board?
No. I don't care to have Ms. DeAgresta participate. I think we need to be focused on what our responsibility is individually, and we have plenty of time between now and when we interview. I'm sorry, I didn't do it like that.
No, that's Ms. DeAgresta.
I would like to have Ms. DeAgresta participate, because when I was going through all these resumes, when it came to board counsel, because as a board member I interact with Brown and DeAgresta, I see their style, I see the promptness, I see the timeliness, the straightforwardness. When it comes to all these other areas, really the only information I see are the bills that we pay when we get our updates on legal expenses. So I would appreciate the insight that Ms. DeAgresta could bring to the process, because I sat down and I made charts for all of them. And, you know, I looked at AV rating, I looked at their fees, I looked at some of the experience, you know, the location and things like that. And I really didn't feel like I had a good foundation to make a judgment, because I don't understand these areas. You know, and so I think her insight would be helpful, especially even as we develop the questions we would ask the interviewers.
Ms. Johnson.
I strongly disagree, because I think that would limit the law firm of Brown DeAgresta only to general counsel. I don't feel it's appropriate for her to be sitting here commenting on something that may stay included in the current scope of services we have received from Brown and DeAgresta. I think it would be awkward for her to comment on labor law or employment law when the law firm could very well be considered to stay in active in those areas.
I guess my what I would expect her to do is to have a conversation with us about what we're looking for in this, because obviously their firm, I don't know, I had been under the assumption that their firm is the one that handles contracting out to some of these if they don't provide the service. I don't know if the district does that. It's not clear to me who does it, but I think as one board member, I would need guidance as to, okay, what with Ms. DiAgresta, we said she's current, she's timely, she's straightforward, she's not, we know what to look for with workers' comp, with labor and employment law, and what are the things that we're looking for? What are the questions we're asking ourselves that are going to provide criteria? You know, and I'm just thinking from that perspective, she could provide some guidance. Maybe you could do it because you're a lawyer. I don't know.
I don't think the trustee should be involved in that. Any way, shape, or form.
I understand exactly what you're saying. I think, though, that if she's still, my understanding is that they still want to be considered for the work, that we probably, you know, in fairness to the other candidates, should not have her involved in because of that. If she was saying, you know, I don't want to be involved in anything other than board council, it'd be different, but I think because they said they want to continue to provide services, that we should probably limit them. Mrs. Disney?
Well, I agree with Claudia. I would like the involvement because like this chart, you know, we had a matrix in the last time we did this, and it showed us hourly rate, and it showed us scope of experience and that kind of thing. And even with that, it was still difficult for me to navigate the where their real experience lies, you know, where they really had their strength. It was difficult for me to ascertain that until the interview process. So for me, I don't know how really to eliminate at this point, except to just interview all of them. Because that rapport is, for me, one of the strongest indicators of what the experience will be like.
I think you have board corporate direction.
Yes.
Yeah.
I understand what you're saying. I think, though, because they want to be considered,
right.
That's my... For the labor and employment, if we want to discuss that first, I will tell you that the one who... impressed me the most out of that group was Jason Odom, because he had the was Jason because of his previous school board experience and the fact that he's doing labor and employment work for other municipalities in the area. For the city of Vero Beach and the clerk's office. What I looked for was more of the relevant, or I don't know if the relevant is the right word, contemporary or current experience, as opposed to somebody who had done it in the past. And I liked, you know, the fact, as I said, that Jason was doing it with local government agencies. So I definitely would like to, and his hourly rate was more in line with what we want of $180 per hour. So I would like to bring him in for an interview.
Law firm of
Cooksey.
I know. Just wanted it on the record. We're talking about a person, not a law firm, and we're looking at negotiating with a law firm. Yeah, with my limited knowledge of this, that was the firm that appealed to me because of the experience. I also had the Allen, you know, firm, but they have good experience, I think probably more experience, but their rates are absolutely outrageous. And so if we have someone locally that has experience, just looking at the resume without speaking with them, I would want to interview that firm also.
So, would you like Alan Norton to come in for an interview, or were you thinking because the hourly rate was so high?
I think that I know that we currently have experience with Mr. Helsby,
right.
And he is outstanding. But I think that if we are going to contract, it would be worth it to see if they're comparable in experience, so we can be reaffirmed in saying we're going to go maybe with the local. They have good experience too, and they're more cost effective, just to have certainty that the services wouldn't be preferable with Mr. Helsby's firm. So I would like to see both.
Mrs. Disney?
Through all the conversations we've had about attorneys, I kept hearing lower the costs and keep it local, and this does neither. This application does neither. He's neither local nor cheaper. So I don't know how that serves what our original purpose was.
Yeah, no matter what the experience, you know, we've already had an Orlando firm doing that, and there's no reason to change, especially for not a higher cost. Certainly, when I look at those four, is it four?
That's five.
Well, Stearns. Mr. Odom from Cooley Cooksey certainly stands out, and obviously we could not go wrong either way. It just becomes a cost issue with Mr. Peterson. We know what he can do, and that's a kind of a no-brainer there.
So are you saying you want to hear from Mr. Peterson?
As well as I know Mr. Peterson, I don't know that I need to hear from him. Of course, I know Mr. Odom, too. We need to talk to Mr. Odom.
Mr. Johnson?
I actually was, after reading these, and I even though I know Mr. Helsby has had a good record of success, we certainly have seen that throughout the state, and certainly for our needs. But the three that I would like very much to see in my rankings were Gould Cooksey, Mr. Peterson, and actually Richardson Koch, who deals with Seminole and St. Lucie County school board law. I know Seminole has been very pleased with, even though they're Fort Pierce, to me, is still local. That's still local folks. There are a lot of people who work in Fort Pierce who live in the Indian River and vice versa, including a huge majority of our teachers who live elsewhere. Those were the three. I just wanted to give you my rankings there. There's nobody who is in the forefront. Those are people I would like to have a one-on-one discussion with in an interview process. I'm happy to see any of those eliminated or added to, depending on the pleasure of the board, corporate. So Mr. Peterson, Gould Cooksey, and Richardson Cope.
I concur.
Yeah,
that's fine.
That's fine with me, too. So we'll plan on interviewing for the labor and employment law, Gould Cooksey, Russell Peterson, and Richardson and Cope. The next area is, we can move on to real estate. They're already combined. They're all desperate for work. They run for the school board.
I was going to say that, and I thought I better not. That's going to be a conflict of interest there.
The real estate, even though...
Was that labor and employment both?
Yeah, that was that labor and employment.
That was labor and employment. Again, we had some excellent candidates. I'll tell you that one of the best real estate attorneys in Vero Beach and Indian River County is Bruce Barquet. So I would certainly love to have Mr. Barquet from Collins Brown come in and talk to us about it. Is anybody else?
Yeah, fine. The only other one that I would definitely want to talk to is Cody.
Okay.
I can tell you that as a client, I've never dealt with those guys, but I've had several clients. I've had to deal with them on a professional level. I've got clients, and they're also very good. In fact, I've got a lot more experience with them than I do with the folks at Collins Brown. And certainly, Mr. Amos is in fact, most of the guys over there at Quinn are all local boys from Rear Beach High School. Mr. Amos is, and certainly Greg, some of the other guys.
Mr. Johnson?
Those were the two that I had, were Collins, Brown, and Caldwell, and O'Hare and Quinn, and I'll tell you, having served on the planning and zoning for ever, it is, and things to do with the city of Vero Beach, when I was involved with their civic arts group there, Mr. Barquette certainly does present himself a wealth of knowledge, but I do think that interviews are very important, and because someone has a success rate doesn't necessarily they're going to necessarily be the best choice or the best fit. And when it comes to interviews, that probably will be the time where, unless we select Ms. Giagresta and Brown and Giagresta, that's certainly where I think we could use the expertise of Ms. Giagresta, is during the interview process. She's not a voting member, but she's certainly somebody who could give us a wealth of information. And I'll ask my other question again. I know you have had a little experience, but not with the real estate area, with Ms. Giagresta and Browning and Giagresta. So I know that's the only reason I didn't ask you before on the other, because I know you haven't had that experience and personal input. So I also know you can work with anybody and have.
Right.
So.
The only thing as we move forward with real estate in particular in Indian River County is the potential conflicts of interest, especially, you know, from attorneys that have been practicing here for a long time. And, you know, it's something that we'll work through, but we just need to be cognizant of that, and it's something that we really probably should investigate during the interview process. And, you know, there's just the nature of being a small county and having transactions across the board. But what Indian River does have, aside from excellent family law attorneys, is excellent real estate attorneys. So I think that we were, you know, these candidates
are state and trust guys out there.
Yeah.
Pretty well known.
And, you know, I just, for the record, the other candidates, the reason I wasn't inclined to go with them really were the hourly rates, again, were so high. $300 an hour, we can't afford. And it's not in the marketplace here in Indian River County. So that was why I didn't ask for anything. Everybody okay with that? Okay, so for real estate, we will interview Collins Brown and O'Hare Quinn Candler to provide services in those areas. The last is the last workers' comp.
Workers' comp, that's where I had my question.
Yeah, that's a tough. Oh, Mrs. Johnson.
Well, actually, I need to have perhaps Mr. Tinder can tell me if he's aware, or we may need to get some additional information where the workers' comp falls with our
scrum. Today, this afternoon, we're conducting the shortlist interviews for that process. We have three major players, Brown & Brown, Fitbit, and EMI. Depending on the outcome of this afternoon, whether or not all three participate and go on, or if it gets shortlisted beyond that, then they'll receive the actual information from the district to put their packets together financially. So, I'd have to say it's undetermined as far as what will happen after this afternoon's meeting. I can't predict who the players will be going forward or the results. But those are the three major players, Brown & Brown, Fisbit, and EMI as of today.
Mr. Johnson?
That being said, I looked at the two official applications that we had. Both were very interesting, and both were very interesting, especially the one firm from Miami-Dade. We started off with some that were, fees were $95 and $50 for paralegal services, but then in the fine print it seemed to get a little, just a little fuzzy. I do not want to circumvent what you're going to be doing this afternoon, but as one board member, I would not be opposed to hearing from all three if you feel it's appropriate, if your committee feels it's appropriate. Those are my other comments, Mr. Chair.
Hearing from all three
this afternoon.
Okay.
Who are Brown and Brown, Fisbit, and EMI. And we have had Fisbit for how many years?
EMI.
I meant EMI. Yes. I'm sorry. I knew what I said.
15, 16 years now, I'm aware of. And again, that's a selection team's recommendation based on the consultant also is working that we're working with, which is cyber in this particular case.
Right.
So, you know, again, I'm not a voting member. I basically orchestrate the process. But when you're down to three, that's usually what we like to have participate going into the next round, if possible. Unfortunately, insurance is such a interesting field in that they compete with, there's only a certain providers. So, you know, there are two major writers, and if you have one person that kind of has a lock on that, that may prevent somebody from coming to with a competitive response. So we'll have to see. But then that's the only way you can get a fair comparison is you don't take business from somebody else to mix it, I don't believe. So, but that's why we need the consultant in this particular case.
Well, and that's why I wanted to go on record as one board member that I'm not opposed to that, but I'm not saying that's what I want either. That's right. Your job.
Sure. Mrs. Disney?
I just want to clarify. You're saying that now that they've narrowed it down to three that you'd like us to hear?
No, I said if this afternoon, after their interviews, they have their process. They have Mr. Chima has his regular process where they sometimes, not always, come forward with one recommendation. You have a couple of times hedged those bets a bit, not very often, understandably, but I just wanted him to know that I'm not opposed if indeed the consultant and the group, the review group this afternoon, since it is this afternoon, I didn't want to impose something that would overshadow the process that they're in right now. That's what I was trying to achieve. I didn't want to do their job for them. But if they come forward with saying we would like to see all three, then that's certainly, I mean, we certainly are going to have
time. Which carries counsel with it.
Correct.
Which carries the counsel with it.
Right.
So the point is that if we go with one of those firms, they may have counsel that is with that firm rather than looking to somebody else. Somebody else outside of that group.
But I did not want to limit anything, and especially not limit what their process is for that, and I didn't know what their timeline was for today. So
your current provider is doing that for you now.
Yes. EMI provides those services for us.
And more than one of those three does it. Is that correct?
I believe all three.
Yeah,
but again,
all three.
Until probably. We go through this afternoon, I'd have to see what they say as far as a response. We're pretty sure two of the three do at this point in time.
Can we put this on hold?
Yeah, I'm going to have some of this.
Yeah, I just want to ask a clarifying question. I recall when we were having the conversation about SCRM, that they took care of, they were in charge of the workers' comp, and we had that policy where if it's after, you know, a certain amount of money, we would be involved. But I recall when we were talking about this at one point, the question was if they have counsel that does workers' comp and they have a list that they draw from, could we contribute to that list and say, you know, there were someone local that we thought could do the job, if we would have that type of input. But that was with SCRM. And so I agree with Ms. Johnson. If this is part of the package for one of these three groups, we should, I didn't understand, and I had actually called Mr. Schuma to try to get some clarification as to why we would even be considering this at this point when there's already a parallel process ongoing.
I think we probably should put it on hold. I do think as part of the process when we, depending on who we go with for the risk management, that we find out and look more closely at who is representing the district in those matters. You know, in the past it's sort of been carte blanche to SCRM to get whoever they want to represent the district, and I think they are still representing the district, and at that point then I think we should really take a look at who those attorneys are and make sure we're comfortable with them representing us. But I think now we probably should put this particular category.
And that's your other category as well, premise liability and tort.
Right. So we'll hold off on that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, so here's where we're at. We're going to renegotiate the general counsel contract with Ms. DeGresta. The second is we are going to interview for labor and employment law the following law firms: Gould, Cook, C. Fennell, Russell Peterson, and Richardson & Cope. And we will interview for real estate representation: Collins, Brown, Caldwell, and O'Hare Quinn. We have set aside February 28th to do interviews. Would you like to try and schedule all five on the same day? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, Ms. Fang, I'll work with you to get those done. And maybe we can do, you know, the 3 in the morning and then 2 in the afternoon, just to separate them. All right, so that takes care of that. Do you want to talk about questions?
Actually, I'd like to do a follow-up.
Sure.
And we said 3 and then 2, but it depends on what happens with the workers. I mean, with the...
Will we know by then?
We will not know by then because this is actually phase 2 of a 3-phase process.
I'm sorry, I apologize.
They still have to receive the actuary information.
Yes, sir. I knew that.
How long should we set aside for each interview? An hour?
Mm-hmm.
Plenty.
Yeah.
Okay.
No.
Well, if we give them 45 minutes and then a 15-minute break in between would be, I think, well.
Perfect.
Because they usually come in with a dog and pony, and then we get down to the real questions.
All right. Would you like to talk about questions now? Or how does the one move forward?
I think that I would rather come up with my own question without the preparation of the firm hearing us have this conversation and then coming with canned answers. I would rather come in on that date with my questions.
I agree with you, and I'll tell you, you know, somebody, I was talking to someone and they said, well, for the superintendent, we have prepared questions. The difference between the superintendent and an attorney is that the superintendent can give us their philosophy on an issue and personalize it. With an attorney, you really can't. You know, there's the law, and you want to know how they apply it. So I think it probably is better for us to come in, ask our own questions, see how they respond, and, and sort of see how they respond on their feet, because as we know, everything kind of happens like that here. Mr. Johnson?
I just want to make sure that just as we did with the superintendent search, we make certain we ask the same questions.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We may have
Absolutely.
Only 2 questions that we're going to ask
Very important.
Each that are exactly the same.
Mm-hmm.
And then if there's something specific to that, the practice or whatever, certainly we can do follow-up questions. Mm-hmm. But in fairness to the firms, I think at least we want to have at least some continuity there so we can compare apples to apples. Now, we may have to throw in a few oranges in at one point, but because of whatever the area of expertise is, or...
Do you have a matrix?
Because I would imagine you want to talk about what their rate of winning cases is and those kinds of things. So, but I would like to see us at least commit to some questions from each board member. Or a question or something.
And I do have questions from the last
That's the same throughout.
So
we're just going
to
just assume then when we do the interviews that everyone's going to have 2 questions.
Or one question.
One question.
Everybody should probably think maybe a 2. Have
well,
two
I think we ought to have more than that.
And then we'll just go through like we did for the superintendent. We'll give you
2 questions each. That's 10 questions immediately off the bat. I would imagine in these areas, since we did not include Brown and DeAgresta, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
Since we did not include Brown and DeAgresta in any of these other areas, that Ms. DeAgresta may have some insight as to some appropriate questions to ask on each of these areas.
But if we're just so I'm clear, if we're going to allow Ms. DeAgresta to participate, they're still, which is what Ms. Jimenez was saying, my understanding is that they still want to be considered for work in these areas. So should we
They've indicated they want to still be considered because of...
Then I think we should probably not include Ms. DeAgresta in the questioning.
Okay. I thought we were...
No, that's okay. Is that because I think we either can do... Either we have her involved, but I don't think if we have her involved that she can then try and get the additional work, or we just do it ourselves. This is just my thought process. And then decide at that point we've interviewed the other candidates and we want to continue with them or not. But I don't want it to appear like it to appear that she's swaying our thought process.
Well, is Ms. Digress still going to be part of the interview process where she's going to have an opportunity to advocate for herself for any of the areas?
I think that they've submitted their letter and said that they'd like to still be considered for school board work. So I think now we go through, we do the interview process, and if we don't find anyone that we're comfortable with, we at that point could go back to Ms. DiAgresta and say, you know, would you like to provide those services to the district?
Continue to provide.
Mm-hmm. I'm just having a really hard time with this from the perspective of when we were looking at Neola, Ms. DiAgresta was very forthright in saying, I know what our firm does, I know what our firm charges, they do an excellent job, and that's, if I were you, that's what I would do. So she has shown us over and over that she is straightforward, and I am having a hard time understanding how if their resume is not in this packet, okay? We know that they could provide these services. I don't see how having, and I wouldn't, you know, myself, having a conversation with her and saying, okay, for real estate, what are some of the things I should be looking for? I don't see how there could be any conflict in asking her to help develop those questions that are general questions about what you would look for in a real estate firm or in a labor or employment firm would have any conflict of interest, because those are common sense things that she would know that I don't know. So I don't see, I mean, I don't think we would do it publicly, but I don't see how it would be inappropriate to ask her, because she is a straightforward, forthright person. And I think that if she felt that it was inappropriate, she would say, I'm sorry, I cannot participate. I can't help you formulate these questions because that would not be appropriate in my position. And I firmly believe she would do that.
Ms. Johnson?
Well, I misunderstood the intent of the board. I thought the board was leaning towards having her participate in, because I still don't feel she needs to be involved. I don't, but I'm willing to go along with whatever board corporate is. I think it is very, when we're talking about Neola and policies, that's very different than, and I believe Ms. Disney has too. We've seen Brown DiAgresta in action in the courtrooms. I mean, she and I both have. It's very insightful and it's very telling as to what capabilities are when you see people in action. And we don't have the luxury of doing that, but I don't want us to eliminate Brown and DiAgresta from consideration for any of these, because they have been doing this for us. But I also don't want to be unfair to the people we're going to interview by having that person sitting here. And I go back to my original comment. I was willing to go along with what I thought was the board corporate direction of having her here.
It was the opposite. It was 3-2. Well, sorry, we didn't count. We didn't poll.
We don't count. We don't count.
No, the consensus was to not have her.
Right. Okay. Well, I agree 100%.
And I... I know, I understand again what you're saying, but if she has indicated that the firm would like to be considered for additional work, and I think to be fair to the candidates and to Ms. DiAgresta, that we should do this as a board on our own and make the decision without it appearing that there's been any influence by our current attorney.
I agree, and we have to think independently. We can't have somebody telling us what to do. I mean, that's why we're elected officials, is we have to do our own work with these. And I know I had, only by some local knowledge, was I aware of a couple of the law firm that's out of Fort Pierce that's dealt with Seminole County. I know that only because I know of some of the issues there and some of the people involved in those issues and working with them. But now that we have these down, I certainly intend to do more investigation of. And we know a lot of local, I mean, we live in this community. We know a lot of local attorneys and what they're capable of. Some of them we've seen in action. Some of them we know from, you know, from years of experience of interacting. But there's a lot of people I know personally, I can tell you, who I would not hire to do real estate presence helping. I realize as I started that sentence, I was going in the wrong direction. I apologize, Mr. Beckley.
Dr.
Well, I would say you have some local expertise at the table. So, I mean, it's really trying to get make sure your questions are relevant to that's where you're going with this. And I think there are lots of people, other people that aren't going to be interviewed that you can ask and get some feedback from. I think it's, we were saying, it's more of a perception problem for you to have Suzanne or Ms. DeGresta involved in this process at all, you know, and that's not what, you know.
Yeah. I would just like to clarify the comment. I don't think that in my request, maybe I was not articulate enough. I wasn't asking to be told what to do. I tend to be a person that believes that if you're not an expert in an area, mm-hmm. it's through conversation mm-hmm. and speaking with people mm-hmm. that are experts and knowledgeable that you really are able to understand what it is that you're working towards. And unlike some of you sitting here at the table, I really, like Ms. Disney, I can not even count to five on my hand the number of lawyers that I interact with or have interacted with in the 13 years that I've lived in Indian River County because I've never had occasion to. So I think sometimes we generalize our experience mm-hmm. to everybody else's experience, and we need to be mindful that we that's the beauty of who we are. We are a diverse group of individuals with a diversity of experiences and connections in the community, and I don't assume that my connections are yours or vice versa. And I think that's why we have these conversations, because some of you feel very comfortable because of the circles that you move in. And some of us, I don't feel uncomfortable, but that's just not my reality. And so when I look at it for myself, I ask myself, okay, how am I going to do the due diligence to the taxpayers in asking the questions and knowing what to look for when this is not in the works of my experience? And that's why I brought that up. But I understand, as Mr. Chuma spoke, we don't want the perception that in any way, shape, or form we are giving preference to one firm or another. So I am clear with that, and I support the board corporate in that. But I think we need to be mindful of the differences of experience that we bring to the table and how we each try to navigate them.
And I think experience is a very key word here. And experience in what? You know what I mean? What kind of experience have you had in government business? I mean, I think looking at real experiences that they have had with regard to school districts maybe or other government bodies. So I think honing in on those kind of things that are similar to what school boards have to deal with, experience is a very important types of experiences are important to what you're looking for.
That being said, I go back to what Ms. Jimenez said earlier. I think you can have a lot of experience. Doesn't necessarily mean you've been successful.
That's true.
And I go back to what she said before. We need to be asking that. That's a hard question to ask. Yes, you've done all of these things, but what's the outcome been? So
give
I agree
us a
with
specific
her 100%
example
on that.
Of a time.
Right.
Mrs. Disney?
When we were talking about the numbers of questions, one of the reasons that I thought we should come prepared with more questions is because we are going to have some questions that overlap that are the same questions. So if we come prepared with three or four questions, we'll be able to strike the ones that are duplicates.
You don't want to turn your questions into one person so you can review that?
Couldn't we turn them in, say, to the...
Just to see if there's a lot of duplication?
They write them down and turn them in, their public record, and they have to be released.
Well, I mean, let's kind of not go overboard here. Every time I send an email, it doesn't have to be automatically printed and displayed to the public. So we could send, through Ms. Stan, we could send those questions. The chair can look at them and just... say we have eight questions, prepare three more. There's no voting, there's no, and I don't think as soon as he gets it, he's going to turn around and publish it. I think you sometimes go overboard with this.
Mr. Johnson?
I understand that the Sunshine Law is something that is difficult for us when we don't want to have to recognize the limitations. I, for one, would rather not have my questions in any way put out or have the potential of being put out to the public. And as Mr. Pegler said with the superintendent interview, once they're there, just like with evaluations of the superintendent, it doesn't matter what the final compilation is by the chairman, everyone's individual comments, no matter what they are public record. And anything you've written on any of these, that's why I use my little codes on these. Anything you write on there, my pluses, minuses, and other things, as you can well see, that's what I use. I don't write any comments because that's my information for me. It is not for the public.
I was going to kind of a possibility or an alternative to getting insight into these areas, if Dr. Adams is okay with it, if you have questions or want to delve into it a little bit deeper, one person I would go to, it was planning to go to, is Mrs. Lannan. You know, if Dr. Adams is okay
sure.
with that, to talk
Absolutely.
To her, even Mr. Lannan and Dr. Mm-hmm. Adams, and, you know, just to get an idea of different experiences or different scenarios that people have had. And, you know, that way you can generate questions from those. The real estate aspect of it is a little bit more, you know, you have a closing and you either close it or you don't. So the issues that I would delve into more are experience with large transactions, dealing with municipal governments, easements, you know, how do you handle a closing, and talk about the financial aspect of it. Just so you know, title insurance is very lucrative, and if the firm is getting the premium, the title insurance premium, you're going to want to ask them if they're going to charge us a fee on top of that. Things like that to look at, you know, that's more, real estate's more of a mechanical thing. But the labor and employment, you know, that might be an alternative, is to go and talk to Mrs. Lannan and Denise Roberts, you know, some people that we have here, Carter, if Dr. Adams is okay with all that.
Sure.
And they can, you know, help generate some questions.
I was just sitting there thinking that as we're asking questions, we're going to have you go last so that...
Yeah, you can fill in all the blanks.
Yes. We forgot to ask.
You have, you know, my thought, just so you know, is I'm going to think of situations that we've gone through in the past and ask them how they would respond to it. And, you know, those are really real-life scenarios, and I want to see how our Labor and Employment Council is going to tell us under a similar situation to respond, and how quickly they answer, how, you know, whether they know the answer. But I think those real life scenarios, it's just like a law school exam where they give you a fact pattern and you have to be able to analyze it and give an answer. I think that's what you need to do in this situation. Mr. Chima.
You had mentioned it'll be relatively timed event, 45 minutes. Just a suggestion, are you planning on asking your questions first and then having the remaining time be theirs? Because as we had discussed, having the apple-apple comparison, if you do not get all your questions reviewed in advance, you may leave the interview process without all the responses that you need. So just a suggestion, that we've done that and it's worked well in the fact that we make sure we get through the questions, and if they take longer to answer a question and they're more thorough, that's fine, but at least you get through it. And because the dog and pony show, more or less, that you allow them to end with, you know, and of course one of your remaining questions, why would you be the best qualified for this particular thing, you know, that's usually, you know, when you turn it over to them. I mean, that's what we've been doing in the selection process. So just a suggestion.
Mr. Johnson?
And I would agree with that. I think sometimes even with the superintendent interview, we wanted to establish a level of comfort
I think setting a time limit on the dog and pony show could be very beneficial. Just because there's 45 minutes set aside, if we get our questions answered, or if, I believe was the case when we did this 5 years ago, there were a couple that we realized quickly we're not going to be able to handle our situation. They didn't get very many questions. I think they got the basics, however many there were. But they really thought they had the rest of that time, which was awkward. That's just a suggestion that we let them talk about themselves and get that comfort level, and just set a 3 to 5 minute or 5 to 7 minute. You know, we'd like to hear about your firm and that kind of thing. And then, of course, as you said, we always have the chairman at the end. You know, do the why would you be the best qualified for this?
Ms. Jimenez?
I think Mr. Chima made an excellent point. I don't understand why they've given us all of this information. I don't understand why we need a dog and pony show at the beginning. I think we should do like we did with the superintendent's interviews, and just we have our questions, we welcome them, and we ask them the questions, and then when we have that, why are you the best qualified, if they choose to use their time to do their dog and pony show, they can do it until their 45 minutes are up. But I really think we need to ask the questions. The information is here. Some of them have beautiful brochures, great bios. So we really need to get the work done.
I'm with you on that. Okay. I think, you know, welcome, and then let's get started. And just pop through them and, you know, get as much constructive and, you know, substantive information as we can.
Yeah, they are professionals.
Yeah, and that would be, that's what my expectation would be, to go in and say hi and then get started. Anybody else? All right, so we are good to go. Thanks, everybody. We'll reconvene at 1.
That was fast.
Sorry.
When you said okay, I thought, okay, that part of
that. Part. Do you want to?
I have something else.
Okay,
yeah.
Well,
yeah,
I'll
undabble. Well, I just wanted to talk about the process that we use, or the superintendent uses, when those occasions arise where we have dual counsel, you know, one for the school board and one for the school district. And I don't know that we have any particular procedure that I could point to if somebody were to ask me, well, how do you decide who's that other attorney? And I just thought we should have an open conversation about it, so that it's something that we all understand, and, you know, how it's going to work, and we have some expectation of how the fees are going to be established. And I don't know if there's a procedure, or if it's just when the need arises, we just find someone. So I thought it was worthy of a conversation.
Well, we've had, since I've been superintendent, there have been a couple of times where we've had to use and personnel employment issues. We have had Mr. Peterson actually represent us for a couple of different issues, and then I only know right now of one other on the labor, you know, side of it, and that came through a recommendation from general counsel, you know, for that. And I think on the employment matters, I think we're just going from past practice on who we've used locally, you know, with regard to that. So a procedure, I don't know that there's a specific, you know, procedure for that. Mm-hmm. If it is, I don't know what it is.
Mrs. Johnson?
I agree with Ms. Disney. We have seen in the past where your authority without approval is 25K.
That's right.
And we have seen where that's been doubled, and after the fact, we ended up having to pay for it. And I think it's very important that we that there is an understanding when you do go forward. And mm-hmm. I'm not sure where this belongs. Mm-hmm. Perhaps our general counsel could suggest a place mm-hmm. for this. But there are times when you're going to need to go past that. And I'm not saying
right.
that what was charged was not appropriate as far as the work done. Mm-hmm. What I'm saying is it went outside. You were not superintendent then. Mm-hmm. But it went outside the area of that
former mm-hmm. superintendent's authority. And there was, to me, that was a disregard of the superintendent's limitations. Should not have occurred without there being.
So you're saying, I remember a couple times, it would come to the board for approval after the fact.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Or we need some additional dollars, which sometimes you don't know, but it was
sometimes
after the fact.
Sometimes you don't know, but certainly when you have something that is almost twice the original expected cost, mm-hmm. and there was a lot of, using Ms. Jimenez's word, there was a lack of communication mm-hmm. between the two parties, but it still meant that yeah. it was inappropriate. So I agree with Ms. Disney. I'd like for us to talk to General Counsel about a procedure moving forward rather than just thinking rules. We don't have the after the fact like we did with some mm-hmm. facilities issues and some other mm-hmm. issues, and we probably need to address that separately at another time.
And I don't know, it's not that I'm dissatisfied with who mm-hmm. we've used mm-hmm. or how you've handled anything. I just was thinking, I wonder if it would be helpful to you to have a short list, to have some people that you choose from, you know, if it's a, depending on what type yeah. of case it is. I didn't know if that was something
I guess the only way I would respond to that is sometimes you have unique situations that require you to look, you know, for a unique type of expertise. So I think that's what we fall mm-hmm. into, you know, mostly. For example, if it was exceptional student education, that's an example
Absolutely.
That comes
right.
to mind, that you have to...
You couldn't find someone probably locally who could handle that.
Yes. As a matter of fact, right now we're looking at, and we are able to use Brown and DeGresta because they have somebody within who deals with. But it's that type of thing where you may have to not look at a short list, but mm-hmm. to look outside and search for somebody.
And I think if what I'm hearing is correct, this is the decisions are made based either on past practice, board counsel, depending on the mm-hmm. specific situation. Mm-hmm. But for us, I guess the concern is the fiscal side of it. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's where our process should be, that when these expenditures occur, you as the superintendent have the discretion to procure counsel to mm-hmm. the best of your ability with, you know, input from the board council, but it's the fiscal side of it. If it's going to be more than 20, or as
That's
you're
right.
going through the process, I mean, there must be some record of the hours spent when
oh,
you're
yes.
approaching 25. That should be the, mm-hmm. okay, now I need to go before the board and
agree
explain
with
what's happening. And that might be a compromise.
The expense of it wasn't actually where I was going with it, because the purchase mm-hmm. order authority kind of... Mm-hmm. you know, keeps that in check somewhat. I mean, assuming it isn't misused and divided up, you know, into two
yeah.
purchase orders or whatever. Really, it's because regardless of which side the council's on, it's our job to look after the well-being of the entire district. And so if we have our council, say Ms. DeGresta, and you use from past practice an attorney to represent the district, say, in a hearing, we want to make sure that you have the best counsel to keep mm-hmm. the district on track to
right.
not and keep us out of trouble. So, you know, it's in our best interest as a board to make sure that regardless of which counsel it is, ours or yours, mm-hmm. that the right thing happens and that somebody who's well mm-hmm. qualified and, mm-hmm. and does the right thing. So,
Mrs. Johnson?
I think that we can handle that, just my opinion, we can handle that by looking at the fiscal side. I would never want to tie the superintendent's hands depending on a unique situation only because they had to deal with somebody on a short list. I trust that there are things you're going to have control over, but the things you don't have control mm-hmm. over at least need to have some conversation with the chairman, if no one else. But when these decisions were being done in complete isolation, and some decisions regarding some work being done through facilities, and even the superintendent wasn't aware that there were these mm-hmm. overruns, and that, again, is back to communication.
Mm-hmm.
That's not pointing fingers at anybody. That's mm-hmm. just saying the process, which I feel I'm responsible for,
is giving you the direction for what the process is going to be. I don't want to tell you how to do it. I just want to tell you that this is what needs to be done. But then these parameters, and that's what your contract says,
yeah.
$25,000.
Right. And what we try and do now is provide a regular update on what the fees are, so that there aren't any. And again, that's after the fact, but it still gives you a good idea of the dollars that have been spent in areas outside of general counsel and why, you know. So I'm very cognizant of all of that, and I'm. Not here to go beyond my authority without letting the board fully know way in advance that we are approaching, you know, what we think
and
would be more.
And that's to protect you.
Sure.
That is to protect, not just for us to be validated,
yeah.
But that's to protect you as leadership.
Yeah. And you're trusting me to get the best person for that particular
circumstance. So perhaps we can...
No, I was just going to say that, you know, you're probably all going to fall out of your seats when I say this, but, you know, trying to narrow it down so much is really getting in the weeds.
Whoa!
You knew it was coming.
It took 4 years.
You have changed
your mind. It's Valentine's Day. It's
now, Mr. Hager. So we're going to proceed with Ms. DeGresta finding out how we can state the fiscal side of it for information to come, even if it just comes to the chairman, someone on our board, the chairman representing all of us.
I don't know what you mean.
Regarding, if you hire counsel, let's just say ESE.
Right.
You hire counsel, you have an authority for a purchase order up to $25,000.
Right.
And if that counsel comes back to you and says, this is going to take a lot longer,
yeah.
and it's not going to work within this purchase order that you have given me.
Right. I absolutely have an obligation.
You have an obligation to at least come.
Yeah.
You don't have to call us all in your office, but you at least need to have communication with our chosen representative, who happens at this moment to be chairman.
Okay.
And the thing that I get questioned about is the reason for it.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are going to. If you do need to retain counsel,
mm-hmm.
just the reason that you have to go get somebody else, if it's an ESE case or something,
mm-hmm.
then we know that it's not something that our general counsel or one of the other attorneys can do.
Mm-hmm.
I think that helps alleviate some of the concern that I hear. Mrs. Disney?
Yeah, well, I just want to reiterate, I'm not unhappy with anything that's happened. I just felt this was worthy of an open conversation.
It is because it's always a perception, again, that, you know, that there's, you may be spending dollars that you don't need to, or mm-hmm. that, so I'm fine with it, and I'm cautious with it, and I'm very willing to keep you informed about where we are in the process.
Anything else?
Yeah.
All right, I'm sure, before I read it.
I just want clarification of the time
right
for the next meeting.
We'll do 1 o'clock.
Okay.
Or we'll have a round table at 1. All right, now we're adjourned.
Officially. So they're doing a lot of the work. He's kind of a consultant to them.
The spirit
of it. They pay beyond that.
Yeah.
And that way I can at least inform you. But if they do it through a direct payment process, I don't even see it.
Oh.
I don't even know what's going on.
But
if we have a PO in place for every term.
Yeah, actually I have...
So we're going from
1 to 4? You? Because we spent about 7,000. I mean, I actually have a log of
1 to 4.
I can check. I've seen some of these vendors on the
calendar.
I was doing some research for this. But I don't see POs, but there's payment data.
Okay.
So it must be going through as a direct name.
Something on my calendar.
It's like it's on an hour by hour basis.
Yeah,
it's not a contract. I mean, the contract is we will provide services to us at this hourly
But what I'm saying is, if you just tell everybody that you're planning that contract anyway, and starting to use the PO process, I can help you. When it comes back to do a change or an increase, it'd be on 25 for payment. I can let you know.
Okay.
But right now, I can't help you because I don't know what's happening.
Okay, I'll find out. Or Carter would know, right?
Not necessarily.
Okay.
That's the thing. It could slip through the cracks.
All right. Okay.
Feel better? Dr. Adams?
Yes.
At